2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 7. I want to say, before we start, we won't be long. I only have 9 points, but they're all short. They're all short, and I had no intentions of going here this morning, none whatsoever. Wasn't planning. Matter of fact, I jotted this down just in personal devotion, just me and the Lord. Never intended to share this or preach this, but I just feel led of the Lord this morning to deal with this. And I want to say before we start, the devil is real. Satan is wreaking havoc in our neighborhood. When I say our neighborhood, I mean in our family. And I'm not necessarily talking about in my immediate household, although he does from time to time, but the family of God, Morningstar Baptist Church. Listen, there've been over 30-something people saved in the last several months. God's moving in our church. Had just a powerful revival, if you remember back. And just continually, God's just been moving. That's a wonderful thing. But we cannot be so naive to think that God would move in power and not expect the devil to counter and to take it sitting down and to be silent about it. No, after all, he is our enemy. We are at war. It's been said before, but I believe it's worth repeating. This is not a playground. This is a battlefield. But I want to deal with a subject this morning that I believe with all my heart is as important of a subject as we can possibly deal with. This subject is the subject of forgiveness. Now, I know when we hear forgiveness, a lot of our minds automatically go to how God forgives. And oh, He does. Well, they should have been a hearty amen right there. Ain't you glad God forgives? He's a God of forgiveness. And I bless His name. If He wasn't a God of forgiveness, we'd all be in hell or headed for hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith He loved us and forgave us. Forgiveness. But there's more to that word forgiveness than God's side of it. We too are to forgive. As a matter of fact, God has some strong language in the Word of God. Do you know that the Bible says we shouldn't expect our Heavenly Father to forgive us if we're not willing to forgive one another? The Lord spoke to me clearly. I got a splitting migraine. I mean, literally, one of the worst I can remember ever having. And God spoke to me clearly. I couldn't even get my thoughts together. But I mean, clearly spoke to my heart and told me not to preach what I had planned to preach and to not to turn it over to Jackie or Brother Jackie or any, but that I needed to deal with this subject this morning. And I don't believe the Lord would do that if He didn't have a word for this crowd. Myself included, I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to us. I didn't come with an axe to grind or a stone to throw, but I'm going to tell you, if we fail at forgiveness, we are headed down a long, dark path. If we fail in forgiveness, we cannot be right with God. If I fail to forgive my brother or my sister, I cannot be right with God. I alluded to this earlier. If I fail to forgive, I have forfeited my right that God has given me and my promise that He's given me to forgive me. I would say that's a very serious issue. I mean, think about it for a moment. Do you or do you not consider God forgiving you from your sin a big deal? What if God never forgave you again? What a miserable life. It's all, but He's a loving God. He wouldn't do that. I want to correct you. He holds His word above His own name. And do you know that these people who have got mad about something, got bitter with somebody, that bitterness turned into a grudge, and for the rest of their life, they wouldn't even speak to that person. According to the Bible, the verse I just quoted to you and alluded to, that's an awful high price to hold a grudge against somebody and be unwilling to forgive at the expense of God never forgiving you again. So I'll follow that up by saying, who has done you so wrong? What is it that's so bad that you're willing to give up on God forgiving you of your sin? I don't know about you, but I need forgiveness, and I need it often. I mean, it ain't a one-time-a-year deal. I'll go so far to say this. It ain't a one-time-a-day thing. I need God's forgiveness constantly. And I'm not about to forfeit the forgiveness of God over some petty, small. And you say, but preacher, you don't understand how big and how bad they hurt me. Put it in its context. How big is fill in the blank in the context of if I hold on to this unforgiveness and bitterness and grudge, I can never be forgiven for my sin. In the light of that, I would say whatever you're talking about, fill in the blank, is small. Not near as bad as you thought it was. I want to mention a few things. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. When you're there, say amen. Verse number 7. The Bible says, so that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Is that what your Bible says? Let me just give you another verse before we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Luke 23:34, the Bible says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Do you know that a lot of people are holding grudges against people, mad at people, and won't forgive people over stuff that person don't even know they've done? I can't tell you how many people have got mad at me and left the church that I pastored without even saying bye. And I have, to this day, no idea why and what I'd done to them. I'd reach out to them, Brother Ned. I'd call them to ask why, and they'd hang the phone up on me. Don't call me. Don't try to reconcile this. I have no idea. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things for a believer to do, but one of the most rewarding acts you can perform. Forgiveness is the one act that gives the clearest picture of Christ to the lost world more than any other act. Nobody ever said that forgiving would be easy, but it is the right and necessary thing to do. In this chapter, there are 9 values of forgiveness that I jotted down. First, forgiveness is the act of the offended. Get that? Forgiveness is the act of the offended, not the offender. Forgiveness is the one who's been offended. Forgiving the offended, the offender. You will notice in the verse above that you must forgive the other. Forgiveness is not waiting for the offender to say, "I'm sorry." Did you get that? True forgiveness is not waiting on the offender to say, "I'm sorry." No. But forgiveness will forgive the offender even if they are never sorry for what they've done. Secondly, forgiveness helps the offender to overcome their guilt. When you forgive somebody that's done you wrong, it helps them. I can testify to that. I've done people wrong. I've done this church wrong. I drug my family's name through the mud. More than that, I drug the name of God through the mud. I lived a sinful life, and I needed to be forgiven. But I felt like even God wouldn't forgive me. The devil had me convinced, as deep and dark of sin, as far out as you went and was, ain't nobody going to forgive you, but bless His name. He knew me ere He loved me. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, meaning He was willing, knowing what I was, He was willing to forgive. Forgiveness helps those and helps the offenders to overcome their guilt. You'll notice that when a person forgives, it keeps the offender from being, as the verse said, swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. I know what that feels like. I remember walking in the church after everybody knew the sin and debauchery I had been in. I felt like I had a white suit on that had just old nasty diesel oil poured all over it. Just filthy. I mean, like, I remember walking in and just feeling like everybody was looking and whispering and pointing and saying, there's that old wicked, dirty, you know what he done? You know, it swallows you up, the guilt and the shame. And when somebody's willing to come up and put an arm around you and say, "I know what you've done, and even in spite of what you've done, I love you and I forgive you." Oh, I'm here to tell you, it helps you to not be overcome with so much sorrow to the point that you feel like you'd be swallowed up in sorrow. You want a good Bible example? You remember that prodigal son? That boy had been out in the pig pen. He'd been out in the muck and the mire of this world, living it up, wasted his substance on riotous living. And said, "I'll arise and go to my father's house." He'd made a mockery of his father. He'd come back smelling like the pig pen. Keep in mind, he was a Jew. If you don't know, if you ain't been saved long, Jews, the worst thing that a Jew could do was to be around hogs and pigs and swine. And there he was, been wallowing around in the pig pen, had the stench, the smell of the swine. He said, I'll arise and go to my father's house. Don't you know he was feeling overwhelmed, almost swallowed up, wondering, would Daddy forgive me? But you remember when he got home, before he got home, while he was a great distance away, the father was sitting on the porch looking for him. And as he topped the hillside, the father ran to him. And you remember what the Bible says. He didn't say, son, you stink. You smell like the swine. You've made a mockery. I can't take this smell. I mean, we're Jews. We don't smell this way. We don't hang around those swine and those that hang around with swine. And you have drug our name through the mud. That ain't what he said. He skipped right over the smell. He didn't care what his son smelled like. He didn't care what he had done. He didn't care how bad, how long he had been wrong. He ran to him and fell on him and hugged him and kissed him and said, he didn't say go take a shower. He didn't say go bathe. No, he said bring forth the best robe. And he clothed him in his stench. In his smell, in his filth. That's what forgiveness will do. Don't you think that prodigal thought, oh my, I'm not feeling like I was a mile or two down the road, like I'm headed to my daddy's house, but I ain't going to be a son, I'm going to be a servant. Because I'm swallowed up in so much guilt and anguish. But when the father fell on him and kissed him, kissed the very slop and the very stench and robed him with the best robe over that filth and grime. Oh, he wasn't feeling overwhelmed anymore with guilt. He was feeling overwhelmed with grace. Amen. With a father that loved him enough to forgive him. Amen. I say hallelujah. And if you don't know anything about that kind of forgiveness, I'd like to introduce you to it. And if anybody on planet Earth should be willing to forgive, it ought to be a Christian. If anybody on planet Earth should be willing to forgive, I don't care what the offense was, it ought to be a child of God. So, secondly, forgiveness helps the offender to overcome their guilt. You'll notice that when a person forgives, it keeps the offender from being swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You can help people live a life of victory if we will be willing to forgive them. Forgiving the offender helps to rid them of their guilt so that they can move on and maybe one day come to you and tell you that they are sorry for what they have done. Say, well, bless God, I ain't forgiving them until they say, I'm sorry. That ain't how it works. You don't forgive because somebody said, I'm sorry. You forgive because you've been forgiven. Amen. Third, forgiveness reveals your love for others. Verse 8, wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. Forgiveness confirms your love or confirms your lack of love. Forgiveness reveals love for others. Verse 8 shows us that and confirms the love of others. The best way for you to show and for me to show others that you love them is to forgive them when they are wrong. It's easy to say I love you when everything's going well. It's easy to say, I love you, Mom. Mama, I love you, when our relationship is going great, but not so much when I've wronged you and I'm out in sin and done wrong. It's a whole lot harder. It changes everything. Husbands and wives. But that's how we prove our love for one another. is that even when they have done wrong, even when our children are doing wrong, we prove our love to them by forgiving them.
Amen.
Not playing the victim, but realizing they're the victim. They're the one that has done wrong and needs forgiveness. Yes. Fourth, forgiveness motivates others to forgive. And all this is so true. Verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ.
Amen.
Verse 10 shows that two people are forgiving each other. You will find that when you start forgiving others, that forgiveness will become something that inspires others to do. Yes. And if there's ever been a time where we need a revival of forgiveness, it's in this day and hour that we're living. Number 5, forgiveness gives the believer an advantage over Satan. Look at how important that is. Forgiveness gives the believer an advantage over our enemy. Verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Verse 11 shows that unforgiveness gives Satan an advantage of us. Therefore, it allows Satan to gain a better position over the believer to destroy him. You want to give Satan the advantage as if he needs one? By the way, hey, sir, ma'am, the food's still out there. Get your mind off that for a minute. I ain't kidding. Hey, listen. I'm not up here wasting time. I'm up here trying to save somebody's life and marriage and home. If we don't learn how to forgive one another, God help us. We're losing our children. We're losing our families. The devil is nobody to be toyed with. The devil is the most powerful being God created. And if you think, listen, if you want to give him an advantage, you are going to lose. You are no match for him. I am no match for him. And to give him place and to give him an advantage by not being willing to forgive, what an error. What an unforced error to give Satan the advantage. Because we know that he's out to destroy. Listen, we're not just giving. Brother Tim, if I'm unwilling to forgive you, I'm not giving you the advantage. I'm giving Satan the advantage. And though me and you might have problems with each other, you ain't out to destroy me. You might not like me. You may not never speak to me again because of something that went on, but you ain't out to destroy me. But we know that book you hold in your lap says that the devil is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. And that's who I'm giving and forfeiting the advantage to when I'm not willing to forgive you. So it ain't so much, Cameron, that if you do me wrong, well, bless God, I ain't forgiving you. Can't believe you hurt me like that. Can't believe you'd do that to me. I ain't forgiving you. I ain't giving you the advantage by doing that. Matter of fact, I'm not gaining anything.
That's right.
I'm ceding the advantage to Satan, who is out to destroy me and my children and my wife. Oh, you don't think unforgiveness is a big deal? I'm telling you, unforgiveness is one of the most serious offenses that can be committed. There ain't many things in the Bible that God said, if you don't do this, I will not forgive you. But unforgiveness is one of them things. Well, you will never gain an advantage over Satan in any area of your life until you learn to be forgiving. Number six, forgiveness opens the door for opportunities. Paul's forgiveness gave him open doors. In verse 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Forgiveness opens doors and opportunities that otherwise you would not have. You will find that doors will begin to open up in your life once you learn to start forgiving others. Relationships will begin to blossom and bloom once you learn to forgive. You say, but they done me wrong. Hey, don't forget, you did God wrong.
Amen.
Ain't you glad He opened the door?
Amen.
Ain't you glad God didn't have your pathetic and my pathetic attitude? Well, they done me wrong. They hurt me. Let me remind you, you did God wrong. I hurt Him. Say, how'd you hurt Him, preacher? It was you hammering the spikes. It was me. It was love that held him to the tree. Oh, you hurt him, but he forgave you. So don't give that excuse. Don't let your heart lie to you and tell you you can't forgive somebody because they've hurt you too bad. That's a lie of the devil. You listen to the wrong voice. That ain't God talking.
Amen.
You can forgive. I can forgive. If you want God to open the doors in your life or ministry, you'd be wise to make sure that you have forgiven anyone and everyone you hold a grudge against. This ain't hard, this part, because the Holy Spirit's faithful. Get on your knees, get along with God, and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm opening the door. Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Try me, O Lord. Reveal who I have a grudge against, who I have not forgiven, who I have not let go of what they done to me." That's the easy part. He will point that out to you, the very person. God's not up in heaven playing games. He's not up in heaven playing hide and go seek. Here's your sin, here it ain't. He'll say, on display, there it is. Then comes the hard part. Are you willing to gain the favor of God by forgiving who hurt you? By letting go of that grudge? No matter if they've asked forgiveness, said I'm sorry, it ain't up to them. Listen, to not forgive somebody, hey listen, please listen, we're about done. To not forgive, Brother Wayne, if I've got a grudge against you and something, I'm just not willing. You hurt me so bad, and I just can't let it go. Ooh, and I'm just holding a grudge against you. And I say, I ain't forgiving you. I don't care. I ain't forgiving you. For me to hold that inside is like me having a big old can of arsenic poison and me drinking it and expecting you to drop dead from it. It ain't going to affect you a bit. I'm the one holding the unforgiveness. That's the toxic, dangerous poison, is the unforgiveness. Has nothing to do. My unforgiveness is not going to affect you whatsoever, but it's sure going to affect me. Well, number seven, forgiveness gives you personal victory. Verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Hallelujah. Forgiveness gives you personal victory. You want to get over feeling like that? There ain't nothing fun about having an unforgiving spirit. You're in bondage when you got a grudge against somebody. You want victory? You want freedom? You want to be set free? You want to be emancipated? Hey, personal victory. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Verse 14 shows us that forgiveness allows the believer to triumph in Christ. You will live a life of defeat if you don't learn to forgive. You will discover the chains of guilt will drop and freedom will be yours, and you will never and you'll never have to worry about forgiving that person again. If you truly forgive them, you'll never have to worry about forgiving them again because the chains drop. It's amazing. It's just like when God forgave you. You remember that? He don't hold it against you anymore. If you truly forget, hey, listen, you ever heard this? Forget, I'll forgive them, but I ain't going to forget it. That ain't true forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, you ain't ever going to bring it up again. True forgiveness puts it in the past. You want victory? Hey, you want victory? Say, but I can't do that. You may not can, but I know one who can. It's Christ who gives the victory. And it's Christ who can forgive anybody through you. Say, I just can't forgive them for what they've done to me. You can't do a whole lot of nothing, but He can do anything, including forgiving anybody for anything. I know what time it is recently. I can't remember where it was at, but this man brutally mangled and murdered a 8-year-old girl. An illegal immigrant, wasn't even supposed to be in the country, got drunk, done been deported 3 times, snuck back in the country, and he mangled and murdered and abused a little 8-year-old girl. Now, I'm a daddy of a little girl. And I watched that mama and that daddy stand at that man's trial, Miss Jan, with tears dripping off their face. And they said, Jesus forgave us and saved us. And sir, we want you to know Jesus will forgive you, and so do we. And that was their daughter. So could you do that? No, I sure couldn't. But Jesus can through me, and He did through them. Verse 14 talks about how we can triumph. Number 8, forgiveness puts you in favor with God. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Forgiveness puts us in favor with God. Verse 15 shows us that forgiveness makes you a sweet savor unto Christ. If you want God's favor on your life, ye will learn to be forgiving. Amen. You know what stinks in the nostrils of God? An unforgiving spirit. You know what's a sweet-smelling savor unto God? Somebody who acts like His son, willing to forgive. That brings the favor of God on your life. Number 9, and we'll be done. I told y'all this would be short. It's just see, just like that, and we're out of here. Number 9. Forgiveness shows your trust and respect for God's Word. Verse 17. Boy, we make a big deal about this King James Bible. Bless God, I believe the King James Bible from cover to cover. I do, too. And I don't go along with none of them that don't, because they're wrong. They're ignorant. This is God's Word. But, forgiveness shows our trust and respect for God's Word. You can tout how much you believe it's King James Bible all you want, but if you ain't willing to live it, hey, listen, if you ain't willing to live what's in this book, don't go around touting how great it is, because you're making a mockery of God and His Word. And God takes this book serious. He holds it above His own name. Yes. Forgiveness shows your trust and respect for God's Word. Verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Amen. Yes. Verse 17 reveals unforgiveness. That unforgiveness corrupts the Word of God. If you trust God's word, you will be forgiving of those who have wronged you. Period. You say, but. There is no but. If you believe this Bible, how many of you believe this Bible to be God's word? You believe it? I ain't preaching my opinion. You believe this is God's word, ain't it? If you trust God's word, you will be forgiving of those who have wronged you. Period. No buts. Let me ask you in closing, who is it that you have not forgiven? You will miss out on forgiveness and its values until you learn yourself to forgive. Forgiveness is a big deal. That's what the Lord gave me for today. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I did my best. Lord, I know it's scattered and all over the place, but God, I pray in Jesus' name, you take your word. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd convict hearts. Lord, I pray you'd, oh God, if there's anybody that I have not forgiven, I pray you'd bring them to my mind even now. Lord, I don't want anybody, after all you've forgiven me for, how could I not forgive anybody of anything? Lord, please, I pray you'd make this truth big to us. Oh God, I believe if we'd get back to forgiving one another, we could truly experience revival. Homes would be better. Homes could be built. But oh God, we're giving Satan such an advantage. Homes, most of them don't even have a chance. And I'm talking about Christian homes, because we're so unwilling to forgive. God, help us. Break our heart, Lord. Put the mirror of the Word of God in front of us and show us just how much you have forgiven us. As undeserving as we were, you forgave us, Lord. May nobody, God, in Jesus' name, I pray nobody under the sound of my voice will leave this sanctuary, will leave this service, having not forgiven and dealt with anyone that they have a grudge or an unforgiving spirit toward. It just ain't worth it, Lord. It just ain't worth it. I pray in Jesus' name, have your way. God, that we'd be in one accord, I pray, God, you'd help us. Touch the homes, touch the husbands, touch the wives, touch the children, touch our church, our community. God, our country, so divided. I pray you'd bring us together in unity, having the mind and heart of Christ, the Word of God, backing up. Teach us, Lord, to forgive. In Christ's name we pray, believing. Amen.